Mr. Dealership. Could you please stop telling your listeners about those cheap replacement parts?
You mean Dorman replacement parts? I'd hardly call them cheap. Dorman parts are designed to work better than the original at a price that... Oh, I see what you mean by cheap, but you're talking about the price.
No!
Okay, this has been another segment of Auto Value's Car Chat. And remember, if you need a specialized replacement part for your vehicle, ask about Dorman products at Auto Value Auto Parts. Stay classy, Alberta.
The year? 2022. And your business is still paying bills and collecting invoices using a checkbook? Why chase checks for payment or suffer through paying bills the old-fashioned way? Mazumago is the simplest way to send and receive business payments. Pay and get paid on time with no limits and accept credit card payments at no additional cost. Chuck those checks. Try Mazumago for free. Sign up at mazumago.com/stampede during July and get a $250 credit.
Did lightning strike your backyard birch? Did a fender crunch your back bumper? If it happens to you, we've got your back. Switch to Co-operators and save up to 35% on your home and auto insurance if you're claim-free. Plus, take advantage of features like multi-vehicle discounts and a home deductible that shrinks. Want to be backed by a leader in client experience? Call 1-877-545-2667 for a quote. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Jamie McCowan, and I like getting dirty in the garden. The only place I shop are Spruce It Up Garden Centers. They have trees, shrubs, annuals and perennials, pots and decor. Want the greenest grass? Use Green It Up Lawn Fertilizer. Want the biggest deck or patio? The landscape team has you covered. Want great-looking trees? Prune It Up Tree Service is the best in the biz. For the best plants, trees, pots and decor, and the greenest grass, go to Spruce It Up Garden Center, your one-stop shop. Spruce It Up, Green It Up, Prune It Up. They've got you covered.
The year? 2022. And your business is still paying bills and collecting invoices using a checkbook? Why chase checks for payment or suffer through paying bills the old-fashioned way? Mazumago is the simplest way to send and receive business payments. Pay and get paid on time with no limits and accept credit card payments at no additional cost. Chuck those checks. Try Mazumago for free. Sign up at mazumago.com/stampede during July and get a $250 credit.
Landmark Cinemas introduces Premier Seats, featuring the added luxury of power-adjustable headrests, heated seats, side table storage, and coat hooks, all wrapped up in your own personal privacy enclosure.
Thirsty for more?
Experience Laser Ultra with Dolby Atmos immersive sound.
It'll blow your movie-loving mind.
Plus, Landmark Extras members get rewarded for every movie purchase they make. Landmark Cinemas, for movie lovers.
Scotiabank's Ultimate Package has unique rewards for unique people like you. With a preferred mortgage rate, Yogis can get a new home with space for a studio. Visit scotiabank.com/ultimate300. Conditions apply. Scotiabank, you're richer than you think.
CFAC Calgary is Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Flames. Streaming 24/7 at sportsnet.ca/960 and through the Sportsnet app. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to The Big Show. Final hour of the program coming your way from the Sportsnet 960 downtown studios. Logan Gordon, Will Nault along with you. We got Blue Jays baseball coming up at the top of the hour this evening. The Blue Jays continuing their series against the Boston Red Sox. Michael Wacha going for the Red Sox. He's been outstanding this year. 2.34 ERA. Ross Stripling, who's filled in pretty admirably for the Jays after Hyunjin Ryu went down for the year with that elbow injury. He's got a 3.08 ERA. Jays took the series opener 7-2 yesterday, Will. Tight race between these two teams behind the Yankees now. Red Sox 42-32, Jays 41-32. So we'll take you to Rogers Center just after 5 o'clock following our last hour of the Big Show. Just waiting to connect with Mike McKenna from Daily Faceoff, former NHLer, former Tampa Bay Lightning goaltender for a little while there, Will. Be curious to see if he had any rooting interest with his former club there. It's been a while since he repped the Tampa Bay colors, but always interesting to see if he's still got a few pals in the organization, hey?
Yeah, it's always fun, and I know that, certainly watching as the playoffs went out, obviously everyone was talking about the Tampa goaltenders, so that would be the story there. And
well, no point in waiting. We might as well ask him those questions right away. From Daily Faceoff, former NHL goaltender and NHL on Sirius XM Radio, Radio's own Mike McKenna joins us on the Atlas Beach and Sports Bar guest hotline. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourselves out there in beautiful Calgary, man? I'm sitting here in St. Louis, Missouri. It's plenty warm. The sun's shining. Jets are flying overhead. It's not bad here. How are things out in
I love it. You just you painted that picture beautifully.
Yeah, I feel like I'm there with you.
We're sitting right there in St. Louis. I can see the arch right now.
It's perfect. Well, that's what everybody knows it for. Oh, have you ever been up the arch? Yeah, I've been up the arch. Every time somebody comes in, we go up the arch. That's what we do.
How'd you land in St. Louis?
This is my hometown. So I grew up in St. Louis. I was in the first wave of, I guess you could say, professional players, more so than NHL players out of St. Louis. I basically, long story short, my grandpa was one of the founding fathers of hockey in the 50s and 60s here in St. Louis. And nowadays we've had well over 24 players come out of St. Louis and play in the NHL. And I was amongst that first group. And I decided when I retired that this is where I wanted to be. Promptly took a job in Vegas as a broadcaster and commuted back and forth for 2 years before it made a lot more sense for me to just come home to St. Louis. So Here I am, and I am centrally located and able to get everywhere within about 4 or 5 hours.
Good to hear, man. Glad to hear that you're settled back home and that you're enjoying your time there. How have things been on the media side for you the last couple of years? Because you're a busy guy now. I mentioned obviously doing stuff with Daily Faceoff and our pal Frank Saravelli, but also doing stuff for Sirius XM. You've got a podcast going. You got a busy guy. You're still very heavily involved in the hockey world, just on the media side now.
For sure. And even on top of that, as a volunteer assistant coach for the St. Lawrence University team, where I played my college hockey as a goalie coach, I did that the last 2 seasons. So you tack all those things together, and it's actually a really busy life at times, and juggling different media commitments, like you said. But it's just great to be involved, man. Like I hockey's my passion. I have a degree in economics. I could easily go do other things that, I mean, frankly, it'd probably be even more lucrative, but that's not my entire goal in life. I want to be able to enjoy what I'm doing. And I do miss the TV aspect. I did that, like I said, for 2 years in Vegas. It'd be fun to do again, but those opportunities they're few and far between. And so what I'm doing now, I love it. It's great working with Daily Faceoff, and found out that I could still write, which I didn't expect was to be sharp. So I tried to do my best with it to make it easy on our editors at Daily Faceoff.
That's good to hear. And yeah, I mean, imagine those 2 years in Vegas were probably a lot of fun. The team was coming about and really having their presence grow in the Vegas area, and probably to be a part of that was probably a neat thing for you, even from a TV side of things.
It was just amazing to walk out of a playing career. It was 2019. I retired I guess I didn't technically retire until I, announced my transition into media, but realistically I finished playing in April and I was on TV in September, and that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I was really, really fortunate that the Golden Knights gave me that opportunity and really got to learn on the job. I was with a crew of some really seasoned veterans, and Darren Millard and Barry Lawless, Shane Knighty, Dave Gosher. And so when you work with people that have been around for a long time, you definitely learn a lot very quickly. It's a fire hose, but I'm thankful that I had that chance.
That's great to hear. As far as your current day-to-day job and doing everything with Daily Faceoff, I imagine part of that's been keeping up with NHL news and watching the Stanley Cup playoffs the last couple of months. How has it been for you? What were the playoffs like? How would you sum up what we saw the last couple of months here?
I just love playoff hockey, I really got to appreciate it later in my own career where, you don't like really pay attention to the NHL playoffs unless you're playing them. Or in my case, like being a third goaltender for most of my career, if your parent team is involved.
Yeah.
And if your team is involved in the American League and you're in a deep playoff run, like you're hardly paying attention to the big club. And so twice in my career later on, I went to the Calder Cup Finals and really got a taste of what it's like to go deep. And you just see that come through in the NHL and even in the American League, the amount of commitment that players have to try to win a Stanley Cup. You guys probably saw the laundry list of injuries that came out today for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it was
sure did.
Like, it was sickening.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're talking like torn quads and busted up meniscus. Yeah,
what was the word for McDonough's hand? Mutilated or something like that?
It
like,
was holy. Mangled. Like, that's typically a word that's used with like lawnmower injuries. You know what I mean? So it's just gross. And then you see Nichushkin's foot and it just looked like it was a, you know, red grape, like the color of it. And I just, you see that come through and it's amazing to see how tough and resilient the human body can be when you really want to put your mind to something. And I thought we saw great hockey. I thought it was a deserving champion in the Colorado Avalanche. They were a steamroller all season long. They continued that in playoffs. And from a goalie's perspective, and I mean this with absolutely zero disrespect to Darcy Kemper and Pavel Francouz, who did a fine job capturing their first Stanley Cup respectively, they were just kind of along for the ride. You know, like, it was the first time in a really, really long while where I felt like the goaltending wasn't the main storyline for a team. And in some ways, that was kind of refreshing. You know, I thought that that was pretty cool to see Colorado just be so dominant from a 5-on-5 standpoint and to see how that team's matured and grown. You know, I saw Vegas knock them out in 6 games last year, and this was a completely different team that we saw in the Avalanche. And yeah, they took advantage of a beat up Lightning team, but that was a damn good series.
Mike, just wanted to, I love that you brought up the injuries, because I saw this couple of instances on social media today, and I'm curious where you're at, even as a former player. I'm sure you saw it at different times in your career. And I don't want to be the wet blanket necessarily on the topic, but I'm just curious where you are on it, because there's a lot of talk about, okay, it's pretty cool and awesome. We talk about how tough these guys playing through some of these injuries, but there's also been more awareness. We've seen this with concussions, but you know, nowadays with certain drugs that players take to act as painkillers and, you know, playing through this stuff, is it really the smartest for the long-term health of the human being, not the player? I'm curious where you are on that, because, yeah, it is cool to talk about guys playing through mangled hands and torn quads, but there also is the long-term health effects of that. Do you have an opinion on that? Where do you stand on that conversation?
I would hate to downplay the significance of these injuries and potential long-lasting ramifications of them. I do think that that most heavily plays into concussions still to this day, and yep, where we need to be careful. And thankfully, you know, I can't remember us seeing many concussions this playoffs. That was a nice change of pace for once. But you do look at the other injuries and you look at how you get through them. Now, I think that the openness and the acceptance of people within the industry to realize that, hey man, you can't be on opioids nonstop, like, that's finally been curtailed. You know, I can remember back to even to 2013 or 14 where my back was killing me in playoffs and I had a script for an opioid before I knew it, you know, and thankfully I never had a problem with them, but some players would. And I don't think it's that laissez-faire any longer. So I do think from that aspect that the doctors and the training staff, they're very much on guard because they know they're under a microscope. And ultimately it comes down to the players, man. If the player wants to play, who's going to hold him out of a game unless it is a concussion, you know? And that's kind of what it comes down to, where you have to trust the players in most instances. But there are certainly times where you expect the training staff and the doctors to just tell someone, you can't do this anymore. You're going to permanently injure yourself. Thing is, even then, there's players that'll trade that. It's that powerful to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it is one of those things. And even, you know, even some of the ones that we talked about today, I mean, you know, did Val Nichushkin, you know, put himself, you know, I remember him saying, you know, look, I needed like medical assistance to get my skate on. That's how mm-hmm. painful it was. I mean, that's a guy that's looking for a new contract in a couple of weeks here, Mike, right? I mean, that's something that, you know, isn't even
Nazem
in
Kadri
the
couldn't even tie his own laces.
Exactly, right?
And he had to have the athletic trainer tie his skates for him.
That's
what I do with my 8-year-old.
Yeah, it felt like he was back in novice. Yeah. But I do think you bring up a great point in terms of, like, I think there is more, I think the comfortability is there more for a training staff or a training staff member to say, hey, look, I don't think you should be playing through this. I think that mm-hmm. that has grown a little bit, hasn't it?
It has. And I think that, you know, how many instances do we really see where somebody can do life-changing damage to their body at this point, you know, like, and concussions are really the one where we get so worried because there's so many unknowns, and it's not like you can just x-ray ahead and say, okay, well, that's broken. That's going to heal. It's not like that. And I will say this though, it is unbelievable how far sports medicine and just medicine in general has come in the world. It used to be if you hurt your knee, your AC, if you tore an ACL, you may never play again. And now you're just talking, oh yeah, it's 6 to 8 months, he'll be back. Like what? You know, like can we give some credit to the doctors and technology there? But I am thankful we're at this point because I can remember a time in my career where, you know, you'd watch a player get knocked out cold at center ice and then be back on the ice 2 minutes later. And you'd be telling the guy, like, if you're not feeling good, don't go out there, man. He's like, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And like, no, you're not. You can't think straight. And that's the point where you really need people to step in and say, this is enough.
I wanted to bring things back to the Stanley Cup final and sort of get your thoughts on it. I was talking with Wilder, and I'm sure you overheard part of it, you know, looking back over your career and seeing, you know, the connection to Tampa Bay. You spent a little bit of time in that organization. And I imagine the only connection I could find, Mike, going back and getting ready to talk to you today, was you would have crossed paths with a young, I believe, 18-year-old Steven Stamkos at the time. Am I missing anybody that's still on that Tampa team from your time playing in their organization?
You got it right. That was Steven Stamkos' rookie year. And I showed up, I guess, probably February 1st of that season. It would have been the 2008-09 season, my rookie year as well. And Stammer had already been benched by Melrose early in the year. He didn't think he was ready.
Yeah.
And even during my time, there was a couple of games that he took off to spend time in the weight room. And he was just a shy kid, man. And I think I was 24 or 5. So, you know, he's 18. I'm 24. Like, you know, two young bucks barricking into the league together. But I mean, it's been amazing to watch the progression, though, of how not just Stammer on the ice, but who he is off the ice and the leader that he's become and the great quote that he's become. I mean, he used to not say anything at all. And man, he's passionate. He's articulate. Like he's everything you would want in a captain. And it's been really amazing to see him grow into that role. And alongside John Cooper, like I think they've really forged a good relationship together, at least from a working standpoint, that I'm not sure that was always there at the beginning. So that part's, it's really cool to see other players on the team. Nick Paul, I played with in the Ottawa organization for a little bit of time. Super happy to see that he had landed in a good spot when it came time to be traded. So the 6 degrees of Mike McKenna is still a real thing, but it was most closely associated with Steven Stamkos and Jeff Halpern, assistant coach, who was my teammate with Tampa Bay Lightning. So there's another one for you.
We are chatting with Mike McKenna, former NHL goaltender, now working for Daily Faceoff, doing some work on NHL, Sirius XM Radio as well. He's joining us this afternoon on The Big Show. And yeah, look, Mike, I know they did that that tree of teammates that played with Jaromir Jagr in consecutive Stanley Cup finals or whatnot. I think we're going to have to start the Mike McKenna one up pretty soon here and see how long that one can go for. It should be 40 years long, right? Should be just as long as Jagr's.
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, a writer for The Athletic named Sean Shapiro did an article that was the 6 degrees of Mike McKenna just as a joke.
Yeah.
And we realized that you can go back to about 1980 or so within 2 degrees of separation to me. For, I mean, like almost like to a T. It was freakish.
And I was going to say, that's got to blow your mind, right?
It does. Like a bum like me, like seriously, I got like less than 3 dozen games in the league, you know? I mean, I know I played a long time in the minors and everywhere else, but how on earth do I have the NHL record with Sean Burke and Ron Tugnutt for a number of jerseys worn in the NHL? How does that happen? Like I wore 9 different jerseys in the NHL, but here's the kicker, guys. I only played for 7 of those teams, whereas Tugger and Berkey both had legit NHL careers that they played for all 9 teams for significant amounts of time.
Well, it's one of those things that I imagine looking back on it now and even, you know, talking about Stamkos and you mentioned Nick Paul there and, you know, it's just one of those things where you probably wouldn't realize it until someone's put it out on paper or in text in front of you, Mike, that all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, I played a year with him or I might have crossed paths with him, you know, whether it was in the AHL or sometime in the NHL. And now it just sort of expands and you wind up having, you know, we say the 6 degrees separation, but you wind up having a long NHL career or a professional career that, you know, sort of spans into these different avenues and you get to can sort of follow now that you're done playing too, right?
Well, and that was one of the greatest benefits that I had walking right into media and into broadcasting is that you know, I remember that first year when I was doing desk work for Vegas, that all I had to do was call up my friends and call up my old managers and people I know that live in the cities that the team's playing in, and doing my homework turned into just having a conversation with my buddies. And that was so cool. And it gave me a lot of really insider stuff, you know, like if a team was playing against, you know, whoever it was, and I call up a friend who played for Columbus against that team the night before, hey, what'd their forecheck look like? Oh, bang, 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 here it is, you know? And that part was really advantageous, and it's still going to be there for a while. But after a while, you have to start making your own new connections, because you start to get removed from the game by a little bit, and the younger crowd moves in, and it's not quite the same as when the old guard was there for my last couple of years.
Will?
Yeah, Mike, just curious in terms of to bring it back locally and use your expertise as a goaltender who played a lot in the minors and did play a little bit in the NHL. I'm curious how much you've heard or your observations. A lot of excitement, as you can imagine, in this market, but certainly don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But just your thoughts on what we saw first professional season, and it was lights out for Dustin Wolf.
Well, if you're looking at the Stockton Heat and what they were able to do, it's impressive. Listen, it's not easy to walk into a professional setting, you know, and play goalie right off the bat and be able to be successful, especially at the American League level. And that's the hardest part, I think, a lot of times, is that you're trying to get your feet underneath you, but you're also trying to be successful at the same time. So how do you bridge that gap? And that's the hardest part for me. A lot of it is that, you know, for me, I took the better part almost 3 years to even be ready to play what I thought was, you know, realistically meaningful hockey in the American Hockey League, you know, like not even talking about playing in the NHL, like that was off my radar. You know, I didn't even factor that in. So for that to be something that works out for Wolf, I mean, it impressed me. And obviously, you know, I think that goaltending is in pretty good hands right now at Calgary. And I think that Vladar is someone who is definitely making himself valuable on the market, but ultimately you want that growth to come from within. You know, this was the first time in over a decade a team won a Stanley Cup with a goaltender that wasn't homegrown. That's exactly what you want to see out of Calgary Flames or any other team in the league.
What do you think that would be like for a team like Stockton, who is going to, and we're seeing more of this, I think, right now than maybe ever before in terms of the American Hockey League and NHL teams sharing the same city. Is that a valuable thing for a guy like Wolf, do you think, going into next year?
You know, it's good from the aspect that if the big club needs him, he can just step right up and be there. And you get the practices, you get the touches, but you don't have to worry about the travel. You don't have to worry about the border. And that's been a new aspect this season, you know, or the past couple of years with COVID. And we don't know that we can't predict the future, right? Like, we don't know if we're going to go back into restrictions with COVID. I sure hope not. I think the whole hockey world hopes not. But for Stockton, what it will now be the minor league team in Calgary itself, it's going to be just like the Winnipeg setup, just like what San Jose has. You get your players in a timely manner, and you just get more touches at the NHL level. I mean, and especially for someone like Wolf, who, I mean, he lit the league up this year at the American League level. Mm-hmm. And he lit it up in the postseason too. Okay, this was a complete showing. And to be able to stay in one city and be under the eye and under the tutelage of the goalie coaching staff in Calgary, you're looking at constant touches, or constant, you know, video touches, that is, with Jason LaBarbera, with Jordan Siglett, two of the brightest minds in goaltending coaching, I believe. It's nothing but good for him. So I see it advantageous for him and for everybody else on that club that's going to now be, you know, in the same complex in Calgary.
And then I guess before we let you go, just your thoughts. I mean, we're all starting to shift focus a little bit to the offseason, and you know, with that comes names changing places. What's your view on this goalie market? I think a lot of people looking at, you know, guys like Jack Campbell. We just talked about Darcy Kemper, you know, Ville Husso in St. Louis. There's a couple of pretty good goaltenders up for grabs, and I think it'll be pretty interesting and fun to watch this carousel spin a little bit.
It is. It always is, it feels like. And I'm not sure that there's really as much top end that's available this summer as there was even last year. But I do like some of the names that are on that list. And like, you look at Darcy Kemper, and is he going to stick around Colorado? You know, he made $4.5 million this year. I think he's up. He's due for a bump. Okay, he wins the Stanley Cup. He's starting goalie. He's 31. He's probably going to make 5+, especially if Bennington making 6. So there's your mark. Where does he go? I don't have an answer for that, but I also don't think that Campbell, I think Campbell's less than 50% to stay in Toronto. So where does he go? And then you got Marc-Andre Fleury floating around out there, who even at 38 years old and looking for a one-year deal, he can provide an awful lot of value to a team. So it's tough to gauge this market because I think the strongest one in terms of desire might actually be Ville Husso, who you mentioned. I know teams, there's plenty of teams that are looking for a goalie that's 27 years old that can grow into a role. Okay. Look at New Jersey. Look at Edmonton. Look all around the league. He fits that. So I can't predict where players are going to go, but I think Kemper's going to be a pretty long-term 4 or 5 year deal, probably in the 6 range, like a Bennington. And then from there, it'll be the trickle-down effect. What's the pecking order? You know, I think Husso might be a really desirable player in this year's offseason.
Is there an ideal fit in Edmonton for you? I think for a lot of people, the Oilers are certainly a team that if they can get their hands on one of these goaltenders, they could really set themselves up for success. Is there somebody that you would say if you were in the shoes of Ken Holland that would be at the top of your list?
I think Husso is probably really well-liked in Edmonton would be a good guess. You know, he showed really well in limited minutes his first year, or really over the last 2 years. The first year was kind of rocky, and this was his prove-it season, and Husso proved it until you got to playoffs, and it wasn't strong there. So I think that's kind of a tough one to gauge, but I think he fits. I think Kemper might be somebody that Edmonton would look at as well. I don't know if Edmonton might even look at the trade market. You know, you've got players like Mackenzie Blackwood, who's been on the market, John Gibson potentially being shopped as well if the Anaheim Ducks can get the right price on him and if he agrees to it. So, you know, would they be options? The bottom line is that if Edmonton's going to go for a goalie, it's going to cost him somewhere between, you know, on the open market, $3.5-4.5 million minimum, probably 6. Trade, you might be a little bit better off, but if you want a number one goalie these days, man, it's going to cost you, and it's going to be somewhere between $4 and $6 million in most cases.
Just a couple of quick ones left for you, Mike. Thanks again for taking some time out of your day to join us here. Yesterday, some news from the Hall of Fame, the 2022 class inducted, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about your thoughts on Roberto Luongo getting the call to the Hall yesterday.
Terrible. Why on earth would they ever put that guy in?
What's he done?
Yeah, he's never done anything, eh?
I got to tell you, man, like I looked up to Roberto Luongo so much during my career, stylistically, mentally, everything. I just thought he was the total package. And then I got to be teammates with him in Florida late in my career, really late in his career. And it was amazing. Like the guy was so much fun to be on the ice with. It was a limited time frame for me. But you saw why. Like he worked every single day. Like he's on the ice early. He practiced hard. He was diligent about his craft. What I will say is encouraging is that maybe this is a little bit of a change of pace for the Hockey Hall of Fame in that Luongo doesn't have a Vezina trophy. He never won a Stanley Cup. He just has a lot of wins. And that's what got him in the hall. And he has an Olympic gold medal. And I'm hoping that maybe that carries a bit of gravity because there's some names out there who I think deserve to be in. I'm thinking of Mike Vernon, Tom Barrasso, Curtis Joseph. I can list reasons for all of them. But I think the bar for goaltenders has been set really high and also kind of undulating. There's no real metric for a goalie getting it, you know, and the Sedins, you have a little over 1,000 points each in 1,300 games and they're in, you know, you get a goalie who's top 10 in wins and he's not in like a Curtis Joseph. Yeah. How does that factor? So I'm happy for Lou. He deserves to be there. I think next year you're going to see the same thing with Hedrick Lundqvist, another deserving Hockey Hall of Fame member. And I think the goalie union's finally starting to get a little bit of respect here, guys, which I'm all for.
Hey, I've been on the Curtis Joseph train with you for a long time. That's one that I can't wrap my head around. And yeah, we had this discussion yesterday that, you know, Lundqvist is, I mean, a slam dunk as I can think of for a goaltender, regardless
he's
of
a guarantee.
Regardless of a Stanley Cup, Mike, the guy's got 61 playoff wins. He did everything but win the cup himself. For the New York Rangers, that doesn't even factor in.
Well, and you talk about people in Calgary, Mike. There's a big, speaking of Mikes, there's a big Vernon. Get Vernon in the hall run
he
here.
He belongs
in Calgary.
There.
Yeah.
Yes.
2 Stanley Cups for Mike Vernon with 2 different teams, Calgary Flames, Detroit Red Wings. He was an all-star 5 times. He was a Conn Smythe winner.
Yeah.
Like, what more do you want from the guy? What's the bar? So I think we can make those arguments all day long. I hope it's not too late for them because there might be recency bias, bias affecting things. Yeah. But I'll finally be quiet once Alex Mogilny gets into. And next year looks like a pretty weak class. So
yeah.
I'm hoping we see Lundqvist and Mogilny like 1-2, and it's just a big run of
contenders. Wow, good for Lundqvist to finally have something going for him when he gets in the hall next year. Hey, like, I mean,
he's beautiful. He can play guitar. He can do any TV he wants. Like,
this guy ran Manhattan for a decade.
We have this discussion every 6 months at this radio station, Mike, about how good it would have been to be Henrik Lundqvist for any period of time. And it only seems to get better.
Henrik Lundqvist. Yep. That's, I would have done anything to be Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, if I could trade lives with someone for like a day, it'd be him.
It might be Henrik Lundqvist. Yeah. We have to finish off on this one because you do have a connection to the city of Calgary, and you do have a connection with a Calgary favorite on this radio station. And I take you back to 2006, 2007. Mike, when you played two games for the Omaha Aksar Ben Knights.
So thankfully for Mike, it's a limited time together.
It's a limited time
Do you have any Brent Cron junk you can give us?
Well, I got called up to the American Hockey League because Brent Cron, unsurprisingly, was injured.
Stunner.
I was going to say.
What a stunner.
Unfortunately for Cron, that was the story of his career. Like, massively talented guy who just couldn't stay healthy. And those couple games, I mean, I was in Omaha for a month and a half, and I got the one token start in Rochester, and I got tossed in after the first period when Curtis McElhinney allowed one goal in the first. Wasn't even a bad goal. He allowed a second goal like 2 minutes into the second, and Ryan McGill tossed me in, and I can remember him looking at me down the bench going, "Hey, get in there." And I was like, you can't be talking to me. Are you serious? Like, and I just played 3-3 in the ECHL, and now you're going to toss me in against the Chicago Wolves. And in I went, and three quick ones later, and we lost 5, I don't know, 1 or 2. So yeah, that's my memories of the Calgary Flames organization.
Yeah. And Will, it won't surprise either one of us here, knowing Brent Cron like we do, he's a regular on the station here and is a fan favorite around here. I can't say that I'm stunned that you had to take over for Brent Cron to need a couple of weeks off. That's just par for the course for that guy.
It was, but you know what? I was really happy for him that he eventually got that NHL game with Dallas later in his career, because I mean, he's just one of those typical guys that got hurt a lot, man. He's a great goalie. He just couldn't keep that together. So it's fun to hear his name, and we never really got to cross paths much, but I know he's big in Calgary, and that's cool. I'm glad that he's still involved there.
Yeah, you probably played against him a ton too in terms of your time in the American League, or maybe not, I guess, depending on the schedule back then. But great stuff, Mike. Thanks for jumping on with us today, and we'll do it again soon. Appreciate it.
Happy to. Glad you guys can have me on anytime.
There you go. Mike McKenna, Daily Faceoff, doing great stuff over there with our pal Frank Saravelli, Tyler Yaremchuk. Make sure you hop over there at Mike McKenna 56 on Twitter if you're looking for a follow there. He's also a host on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio and also part of the Suitcase and Scribe podcast, former NHL, AHL, and ECHL goalie, now repping it in St. Louis. Really appreciate Mike taking some time out of his day to join us here on the big show. Need to take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Finish the show off with some headlines, get you caught up on everything you need to know in the world of sports. That's next when the big show returns on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
Welcome back to the program. Hour number 3 rolls on. Top of the hour, we'll take you to Rogers Centre in Toronto, Blue Jays and Red Sox. More on that right now as we dive into some headlines. My name is Will Nault alongside Logan Gordon. Be listening this week, by the way, to the boys in the morning, because Boomer in the morning, giving away a 4-pack of seats every single day for your family to join us in the Sportsnet 960 reserved section next Friday for the 2022 Calgary Stampede Parade. We want you to come in and join us. Free coffee and baked goods in our section. And we'll be live on location as well that morning. And we've got those seats for you right on the parade route, right where you want to be. All of that, you don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. to tire chair to a pole. So that is good news. Be listening in every morning to Boomer in the Morning for your chance to win a family four-pack of seats. You can also double your chances to win by entering online at sportsnet.ca/960. Away from that, though, let's dive into our sports headlines on this Tuesday afternoon and evening. The latest on that, we give the floor to Logan Gordon. Logo, are we starting?
Let's start with the Toronto Blue Jays in action again tonight, Will, against the Boston Red Sox, continuing their series against their AL East Division rival, hoping for more of the same from the series opener last night.
Chapman waits on the young right-hander. The pitch. There's a swing and a long fly ball. Deep left field. You can forget it!
That was a Matt Chapman blast, bottom five, that gave the Jays a 7-0 lead. They would win it 7-2. They'll turn to Ross Stripling on the mound for tonight's matchup, Will. He holds a 4-2 record to go with a 3.08 ERA and 43 strikeouts. On the other side, Michael Wacha, who's been outstanding for the Red Sox, he holds a 6-1 record, a 2.34 ERA to go along with 48 strikeouts. Your lineup today for the Blue Jays looks like this. George Springer will lead things off and DH. That means Raimel Tapia goes into center field. He's batting ninth, batting eighth, and catching today. Gabriel Moreno, same starting lineup as you usually would see. Bichette second, Guerrero first, and batting third. Teoscar Hernandez, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Matt Chapman, and Santiago Espinal will the Red Sox one win ahead of the Blue Jays on this season record, because they've had an outstanding last couple of weeks. But the Jays put a little dent into the Red Sox yesterday, and I'm sure they'd love to see more of that tonight.
No doubt. I mean, that was a huge offensive outburst yesterday. Obviously, the pitching, we talked a lot about that going into that game. And certainly at the end of last week, talked about this pitching staff. You had a great start from Kevin Gausman. Ross Stripling has been, you know, kind of Mr. Fix-It when it comes to this team. Whether it's been in the rotation or in the bullpen, he's been really good this year for Toronto. So you're hoping for more of the same tonight from Ross Stripling as they get set to do some more damage on the Red Sox, who've been on a really good run despite a bad start to the year. So nice to see the Blue Jays kind of take one to them yesterday. We'll see what happens tonight in Game 2 of this series. But yeah, yesterday was kind of more of what you like to see if you're a Jays fan, because the offense was back and the pitching was really, really good. A bit of a night off for the bullpen after Mr. Gausman goes 7. So that's what you want to kick off a big week, and we'll see what Game 2 of this series has tonight.
And we talked about that yesterday, that bullpen getting some help in the form of veteran reliever Sergio Romo. He is in the building. He was with his new teammates this afternoon at the ballpark. He'll have a physical after the game tonight, Will, and is expected to make that signing official. So the Jays will get some help when it comes to that. Interesting piece of Blue Jays news as well to pass your way. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will not be participating in the 2022 Home Run Derby in Los Angeles later in July in order to avoid re-injuring his wrist. He told our own Shai Davidi of Sportsnet through an interpreter that his wrist is feeling good now, but he missed a couple of games earlier in May due to left wrist soreness, and was held to about .217 batting average, which is 3 home runs in that month. So he doesn't want to re-aggravate any of that injury in the Home Run Derby. So he might be heading there for the All-Star Game, Will, but he will not be out there when it comes to the Home Run Derby. Another 5:07 first pitch tonight from the Rogers Centre in Toronto. You can watch it on Sportsnet or listen to the game right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. MLB scoreboard for this afternoon, a couple of games, one finish just going final not long ago. The Cleveland Guardians with a 3-2 win over the Minnesota Twins. That one final not too long ago. Plenty of other games on this busy Tuesday night in the majors. You've got the Astros and Mets at 5:10. Dodgers taking on the Rockies at 6:40. Yankees hosting the Oakland A's just after 5 o'clock. And your late game tonight, the Seattle Mariners and the Baltimore Orioles continuing their series. That one kicked off yesterday. It was a 9-2 Baltimore win. Former J. Robbie Ray expected to be on the mound for the Orioles in that matchup. Also wanted to mention, well, if you're looking for plans late on this Wednesday evening, perhaps head out to Okotoks for an Okotoks Dogs game day.
Beautiful weather for it.
Yes, looks like it's going to be a great night. The Dogs are having a tremendous season, and you and me always boast about the tremendous facility that is Siemens Stadium in Okotoks. So you're looking for something to do on a nice summer night, perhaps heading, it's in Lethbridge tonight. My bad. Can't head to Okotoks. You can on the 30th, though.
You could head to Lethbridge if you really wanted.
You really could. It's probably still nice in Lethbridge, but how about wait till Thursday to go to Okotoks when Edmonton's in town? That at sign's really important. Still a game day.
Some would say it's key.
It's still a game day. 7:05 first pitch at Lethbridge. Dogs taking on the Lethbridge Bulls. Some key NFL news this afternoon, Will. It sounds as though the contract impasse between the Washington Commanders and Terry McLaurin is over. As ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Terry McLaurin is set to sign a 3-year extension that's worth up to $71 million. That new deal will place McLaurin among the league's top 5 highest paid wideouts. It also contains a $28 million signing bonus, which is the largest figure given to a receiver. Additionally, about $53.1 million of the extension will be guaranteed. McLaurin, who had one more year remaining on his rookie deal, now under contract with the Commanders through the 2025 season. He's 26 years old after being selected in the 2019 draft in the third round. He's put up at least 900 receiving yards in each of his first 3 seasons and coming off a 1,053-yard campaign in 2021.
He wanted to get this done for a while, saw a lot of his peers getting paid, and Terry McLaurin today getting his due from the Washington Commanders. Of course, I think the big questions are, how does Carson Wentz fit in? And I think for a lot of people, this contract was important to get done now. I know that they probably would have liked to get it done about a month or a month and a half earlier. But now that you've got it settled, you can have Terry McLaurin back in camp and really not going to miss any training camp with his new quarterback, which is very important to get timing down, to get some chemistry built in. So this is a good and really a massive day for the Commanders and their fans, because that was the biggest question was, as this contract, negotiation was going on, or the standoff was going on, you're missing key time for your top target to get in with your new quarterback. So now that that's out of the way, that's good news for the Commanders.
Well, and you always worry about those contract impasses. The last year of a rookie deal always seems to be, a bit of an issue for guys. They want to get paid a little bit sooner. This, eases that concern. And he's the second member of the 2019 draft class, Will, as far as receivers go, to receive a lucrative extension. Of course, A.J. Brown couldn't come to terms with the Tennessee Titans and was traded to the Eagles before he signed that 4-year, $100 million extension in April. So not the first of his draft class to do that. And we always seem to have these conversations around this time of the NFL year. And timelines always seem to bring it closer to getting these deals done.
No, they certainly do. Deadlines make everything go better. We'll go faster.
NBA news. After Kyrie Irving signed his player option yesterday to remain with the Brooklyn Nets for another season, another point guard in a significant big market in the NBA looks like he's about to do the same. That, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, who's reporting that LA Lakers guard Russell Westbrook will exercise his $47.1 million player option for the 2022-2023 campaign. Westbrook was the 2017 MVP, Will, but fell well short of expectations in his Lakers debut last year. Averaged just 18.5 points to go with 7.4 rebounds and 7.1 assists in 78 contests. His 18.5 points per game in 2021-2022 marked his lowest scoring output since his sophomore campaign. Didn't seem to build much chemistry with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. We'll see if that can change in year number 2. But I don't know if anyone was really surprised about that. I don't think Russell Westbrook was getting $47.1 million anywhere else, especially on a long-term deal, Will, after that first season with the Lakers seemed to go so disastrously.
I was thinking about that, too. I think that that was obviously a smart personal decision for Russell Westbrook because, I don't think he was getting that money
from anybody else on the open market. So exercise that, the right that he negotiated or the right that he had in his contract. And certainly you're probably not not surprised by that decision if you're anybody else. I mean, that was number one and a you know, personal move for Russell Westbrook. And now the question is, does he actually play in L.A. next year? Is there still a trade potentially out there for him? That remains to be seen. Similar questions are being had for Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, despite the fact that he exercised his player option as well, or his opt-in. And so we'll see if those two players play with their respective teams. But, I mean, really the takeaway here is that NBA salaries are just ridiculous.
Yeah, you can certainly get paid for previous those player options, right? I mean, how do you walk away from $47.1 million if you're Russell Westbrook?
It's a hard decision, man.
And even after the year you had, it just seems to make too much sense. Quick update from Wimbledon, a tough one for Canada and Felix Auger-Aliassime. He is out of Wimbledon in the first round. He's the highest men's seed to be eliminated so far. The Canadian lost to Maxime Cressy of the United States. The 21-year-old was a quarterfinalist last year for his best result at the All England Club. Cressy came into Wimbledon in good form, having been the runner-up to Taylor Fritz at the Grass Court Eastbourne tournament last weekend. And on the women's side, Serena Williams is out of Wimbledon as her single comeback ends with a first-round loss of her own. She gets beat by 115th-ranked Harmony Tan of France in a third-set tiebreaker at Wimbledon. So early on, Will, a couple of big names falling out, especially for the Canadian men and Auger-Aliassime.
Yeah, too bad for Felix. Obviously not what he had planned, and to be the highest seed knocked out this early, that's not what you want on your resume. But we'll see if you know, Canada can have a better fate at Wimbledon. Obviously an awesome tournament, but grass is such a different animal, and you know, I don't know if that's necessarily what Felix's game is best suited for, but too bad to see him get knocked out. He's had a fabulous year and season. It's really too bad that he's out this early in Wimbledon.
And last but not least, a quick weather update and a shout-out to our Sportsnet contributor and the play-by-play voice of the Lethbridge Hurricanes and the Lethbridge Bulls, our pal Dustin Forbes, informing me as he's at the ballpark tonight getting set for the Dogs and the Bulls. So the weather is actually great in Lethbridge. After my flub up earlier of saying get down to Okotoks for the Dogs game.
I don't think Dustin's having trouble reading
the
schedule.
No, Dustin's got it right. The play-by-play voice of the Lethbridge Bulls, and occasionally doing some Sportsnet Tonights with Sandra Priscina along the radio station, was kind enough to point out to me that the weather is great in Lethbridge. If you're making the trek down, if you'd prefer a shorter wait and perhaps waiting for me to get the home and road teams correct and go to Okotoks, then you can do that in a couple of days. But good news for everyone in Lethbridge that the weather should be great for the game tonight. Thanks, Forbes.
Yeah, quicker to drive to Lethbridge than wait till Thursday to see some Dogs baseball. So, you know what, though? It's big that you can admit that you're at fault here.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna own this one. I'm going to try to be better tomorrow.
There's only one way to go, and that's up.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't get much worse.
No, you can't.
I want to add this one quick one to headlines today as a round of applause and congratulations to Andrew Buckley, the former University of Dinos quarterback and, of course, former Calgary Stampeder, announced today that he will go up and be recognized as one of the Canada West Division greats in university football as he will be honored and going to the Canada West Hall of Fame. Of course, a two-time Heck Crichton Trophy winner, which goes to Canada's top university football player. He was also a three-time Canada West champion with the Dinos and leading the program to a Vanier Cup appearance in his first year as the starter back in 2013, and also set the U Sports record for passing yards in 2014. His total now is third all-time. Also holds the Canada West record for completion percentage at 71.95%, and also has a host of Dinos records and was, of course, an academic All-Canadian five times in his career. So congratulations to Andrew Buckley. I'll be honored as one of the greats in the Canada West.
There's your Tuesday edition of headlines.
Great stuff, Logan.
Some of them were even correct.
That's right.
Not all of them, but
I think all of them were outside of your blob.
Yeah, I mean, look, the game is still happening between Lethbridge and Okotoks. Yeah,
just different stadium.
Just not in the same location.
Just one minor detail.
It's a small one, but it's a big one when you're telling everyone to go there and enjoy the night. And
Especially with the gas prices. You gotta,
hey, if you've got it, if you got it in the tank to go to Lethbridge, then be my guest. Enjoy, you know, Dustin Forbes and everyone else on the call. But yeah, I'm going to be better tomorrow.
Okay. I hope you are. That'll do it for hour number three. Thanks to Aaron Howell, our producer. Thanks to Mike McKenna. And of course, earlier on today, we were joined by Matt Baker and Peter Labardius. That'll do it for our Tuesday edition of The Big Show. We're back again tomorrow. Enjoy the Blue Jays and the Red Sox next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.